Navigation system.
Please say a command.
On. Ignition. Powered. Seatbelts. Fastened. Shift. Drive. Twin Cities sports fans, hold on tight. Live from the TCL broadcast studios, this is The Ride with Royce.
He's going the distance. He's going full speed.
The sensation of the winter meetings in Orlando, Florida have been the Miami Marlins.
Honest to God.
Trading Giancarlo Stanton. D. Gordon, and now Ozuna, who was another All-Star, and in fact, he was in the Home Run Derby.
Yes, he was, yes.
One of their Marcel Ozuna. By the way, I think I would rather have Marcel Ozuna at his price than Giancarlo Stanton at his. Don't you? I love Marcel Ozuna.
Yeah, he's going to make, I think I saw 11, and then you got to sign him probably after next year.
That's a lot
of money for Stanton. You're right. And Ozuna's a really good outfielder in addition to being a very productive
hitter. How old is Ozuna?
26, 27.
And the Cardinals gave up, what, one real pitching prospect and then nothing
and
much
And then a couple
else.
Other minor
couple
leaguers.
Other guys. And then the one player they got left, Christian Yelich, apparently they were saying today they were willing to keep him if he wanted to stay. And he said, let me go. So who needs a center fielder? He can play there, right? You wonder, too.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Miami doesn't exactly have a devoted fan base down in that market, but they can't keep doing this.
No, this is the fourth time they... They did it when they won the championship in 97, and then they dismantled in 98 because Huizenga hated baseball. The legend on that used to always be that he owned the hockey team too, right?
Okay.
Huizenga and the NFL team. And yep. He had a picnic come out to the big estate for him and the wife for the hockey team. And they showed up in unison and were all very appreciative. And then they had one of the few off days in the baseball season, invited everybody out, and about four Marlins showed up, and he decided he hated baseball. So he basically, even though he won the World Series in 97,
he was still done with it.
But he also was mad because they did not lock them out to get a salary cap. He liked the NFL system, obviously, and he was mad that they didn't lock him out. So he dismantled them in 98, ruined it for years. But Dombrowski made such good trades that they rebuilt it and won the World Series again.
In 03.
And then they let her go again. They let her get away again. Then they went out, about two years ago, and we're going to spend money, right?
Yeah, they got like Jose Reyes and those guys. Heath Bell.
That was more than that. That's like four or five years ago, right?
And they hired Ozzy, too, right, to be the manager?
Yeah, we're going to try again. Then Ozzy, that one never even made it to opening day because Ozzy gave Fidel Castro the big endorsement of what a tough guy he was, and they turned on him.
I believe he used the word misunderstood, too.
That was the second year. Showtime was trying to do the
Hard Knocks
equivalent of Hard Knocks in baseball. Remember? Mm-hmm.
They would film it in spring.
They would film it like in spring training and then show it during the summer, right?
Yeah.
And then they continued to film it like during the first half of the season. And the first year was the Giants, and it was pretty good. The Giants was pretty good, even though they didn't make, that was not one of the years they won the World
Series. Mm-hmm.
Second year, remember the Marlins? It was the Marlins, and they just stopped showing it. They just stopped doing it. Like after week five, they just said, to hell with it. Nobody's watching. Everybody hates the Marlins. Even people in Miami aren't watching. So they haven't brought it back since. But then Loria did it. Huizenga did it. Loria did it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you had a disappointing season, but you had the All-Star game. You had the Home Run Derby that created more excitement in Miami than any baseball thing in 100 years.
Yeah.
And you had Giancarlo. And you had some pieces. So go get some pitching. Go get some pitching mm-hmm. to go with this because you had a good lineup. Well, now they've dismantled it. And they haven't really brought in a bevy of prospects, you know, when they made their trades. They're not doing what the White Sox did. The White Sox got real top-line prospects when they made their trades, when they got rid of Sale.
The Marlins are just trying to get rid of the money.
Yeah. Because they overpaid for the franchise to get it. Yeah. They paid $1.3 billion or whatever the hell it was, right?
Well, that's why what I don't understand is you're going back to either Huizenga or whatever. If you're that disinterested in putting out a competitive product, then sell the team. If you're not in this to have a competitive product out there, then why do you own the team to begin with?
They just sold it to these guys. Why did they buy it is the question.
I guess that is the question.
Loria has no regrets over anything he did because he made off like a bandit when he sold the damn team.
Yes, and he won the World Series, and everybody hates him in Miami, but who cares?
Yeah, he doesn't care.
And now the good news for him is they hate Jeter already, worse than they ever hated him.
Did he buy the fans a gift basket after he got done screwing them?
That joke has been beat to death. But yeah, I think the pickle was even late on that one. I've seen it a couple other places when they come up with that one. Meanwhile, the Twins take an interesting move today. Michael Pineda, who was pitching well again for the Yankees this summer and then blew out his ACL. Is this his first one? He had some other injury. I don't think he had another ACL. I don't know what it was. Not ACL.
UCL.
UCLA. UCL. Not UCLA either. UCL.
That's like a school.
And had Tommy John surgery, so he won't pitch this year, and they're going to give him $2 million and rehab him. Take on the expenses of that.
And this has become very common. You know, the Cubs just did this with Drew Smyly. They just did it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So you're buying a year for a guy to sit, and then you're hoping that he can rebound.
And
they're
going to pay him $8 million. What'd the Cubs give Smyly?
It was like $9 million total. So I think $2 million and $7 million, something like that. Very similar to the Pineda contract.
I'd rather have Drew Smyly than this guy. But, it's something. We'll see if it works. And the rumors attaching them to Darvish are still out there, but here's the deal. If Boris doesn't get what he wants at the winter meetings, he's not going to take, he'll wait till February. Yeah.
He'll go as long as he wants until he gets what he wants.
He won't give you an answer. So if he thinks he's going to get 180, yesterday or 2 days ago, it said he's looking for 200, which means he's what? Looking for 170?
Probably. He'll settle for 170.
Yeah. Yeah.
For what, 5 or 6?
Yeah, probably 6. 170 would probably be 6.
6, yeah.
That's too much. I might give him 5 for 140,
And the other problem is Boris also has Arrieta, and I'm going to guess that he's going to want to have either the parameters of a contract for him.
He's trying to get 200 for Arrieta at age 32. I'd rather have you than Arrieta.
I would, too.
Yeah. And they say Washington. If Washington does Arrieta, they're going to be so far over the salary cap thing, it's going to cost them, whatever they pay Arrieta, it's going to cost them that much. They're going to be all over the cap. I think Washington would be idiots to go get him.
You guys did see the money home run quote, though, from today's winter meetings down in Orlando, did you not?
Boris saying that...
There was that. That was pretty good. Go ahead with the Boris quote.
Well, the Boris just said they've turned the Jeter's turned Morris into a pawn, the Marlins into a pawn shop,
which is great.
We've seen one of our major league jewelry stores become a pawn shop. He said, "Did you see, by the way, he comes down and does his lobby session, and the media was from here to Surly Brewery trying to get quotes from
Boris." Oh, I bet.
Boris, yeah.
This from Lavelle E. Neal III. Ron Gardenhire had a press conference today, the new Detroit Tigers manager, and he was asked, "Well, Ron, how tough is it going to be with the Yankees now with Stanton going there?" His reply, quote, "Have you seen my record against the Yankees?" That is fantastic. That's why we love Gardy.
Self-deprecation.
Gardy in a good Gardy in a good mood.
Have you seen my record against the Yankees?
All righty. We shall return. A big football doubleheader, 5 o'clock. Herm Edwards, the new coach of the Arizona State Wildcats, Sun Devils, and not the Wildcats, the Lute Olson coached them. Ugh. And then we have Rich Gannon, who you usually our Tuesday guest, but we had to raise money for Courage Kenny yesterday, so Rich Gannon will be on today. We'll be back. So Jose Canseco has been trying to get back into baseball with a job, you know, trying to get somebody to hire him. And he's, you know, I got to tell you this. When he was a young guy, I loved him. He was great to talk to. He was
very cerebral?
No, but he'd answer questions. He'd give you a thought. He wouldn't blow you. He was a super-duper star, and he wouldn't blow you off.
Okay.
Even though McGuire was a surly jackass. But so we all liked Jose, and he'd say stuff, and he was fine, and he was conversant. You never thought you were talking to a brain surgeon, but then again, you never thought you were talking to a complete idiot either.
Okay.
As I think as the vitamins continued to take their toll on him, that he got a little goofier. But December 12th, 3:59 p.m., Jose Canseco's Twitter account. Many, many followers, because he is wacky on Twitter. What is going on with all these politicians molesting women? I've been molested by several women and never complained.
Oh, no.
Do you think he put a lot of thought into that?
I don't think so.
Before he went out there, considering. And then he got apparently a couple of responses. So he comes back 3 minutes later with, well, I mean, I've been beaten by women, taken advantage of by women, and molested by women. I never complained, but it was kind of a turn-on.
Oh, so he's doubling down.
Yeah, he's doubling down. And now, 2 minutes after that, I see the difference. I guess because I was a good-looking guy and these politicians look like a bag of boogers, he said.
Oh, my God.
And then he waited. And then he started getting a response, and 16 minutes later, he says, these women complaining against sexual misconduct are just racist against ugly men.
Jose.
Just racist. Oh. Racist against ugly men. And then finally, an hour and a half later, why is everyone so worried about what I am saying? I'm just a simple guy trying to pay my bills. Worry about who's running our country. And then NBC Sports California, he was a studio analyst with Oakland, with the Oakland A's, I guess.
I did not know that.
And he's likely to lose that job. NBC Sports California said, tweeted out, Jose Canseco is no longer an employee with NBC Sports California. His agreement with us ended after the 2017 baseball season. We certainly don't agree with his comments, which do not reflect the values of our network and our team partner. In a statement, the Oakland A's said they were disappointed to learn of Mr. Canseco's statements. And Mr. Canseco is not an employee of the Athletics, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Jose.
And he has since deleted all these tweets, I believe.
Yes, but it's too late.
Yeah, it's already there. People have screenshotted it, and
And this was supposed to occur today, but I missed the response that Warren Sapp was going to go on the radio to talk about him being one of the six former players whose name are mentioned in a sexual harassment lawsuit against the NFL Network.
I find that shocking.
Yes. Sapp was going to appear today. Sapp allegedly gave the plaintiff in the lawsuit was former NFL Network employee Jamie Cantor. Now, Jamie apparently cleaned up the restrooms. This isn't the makeup artist.
Oh, this is the cleaning lady.
This is the cleaning lady. He allegedly gave this former employee sex toys as Christmas gifts for three straight years. He also allegedly showed Cantor nude pictures of women he claimed to have slept with and talked openly about his sex life in Cantor's presence. Cantor contends that she's worked in the men's restroom, that Sam came in while she was preparing clothes, that he urinated in front of her, and then when she screamed at him to get out, he had some other comment. The other former players mentioned in the lawsuit are Marshall Faulk, Heath Evans, Ike Taylor, Donovan McNabb, and Eric Davis, Who's Eric Davis?
The former defensive back.
Corner for the 49ers. Yeah. He was pretty good player.
So that's pretty much wiping out all our analysts, right? You got a whole new crew coming in, right? If they all get fired?
I would think so.
You know, I didn't realize that. I assumed when I saw the story that it was the same woman that the other analysts were accused of sexually harassing. But you know what?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she... That's where they did the makeup. Maybe she did the makeup in there, you know, because they didn't have a have a room.
Because
right?
What I was picturing is if this is in fact the cleaning lady, then you know what that makes Warren Sapp, George Costanza.
What was Jeff one of George's girlfriends?
No, don't you remember that episode of Seinfeld?
What?
We'll just move on.
No,
okay, you didn't get the.
No, I didn't.
Jess Myers got the joke.
I remember the one where he went swimming and was very.
Yeah.
That's the one where he went swimming?
No. It's a different episode. Okay. It's a different episode.
That was a shrinkage. Remember the shrinkage. Episode.
Well, Warren Sapp doesn't. He doesn't strike me as a guy of high moral character.
I still say we should have taken him instead of Derek Alexander, though.
There might be a Super Bowl.
We could have put up with that. We could have put up with smoking a little dope at the NFL Combine. To have Warren Sapp instead of Derek Alexander.
There is no question. He was a heck
Warren
of a football
Sapp
player.
Warren Sapp and John Randall on the same defensive line would have been pretty good.
You might have had to run wide.
Yeah.
Hey, is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Sapp, yes.
Sapp? Okay. Yep. We're not going to... And Marshall Faulk's in the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And Donovan McNabb is not yet, right?
And no, he's I not. Don't think he will be.
But we don't... We didn't take O.J. out, did we? He's still in the Hall of Fame.
I think
right?
He's still in.
Yeah, he's still
in. We took away his Heisman, but he's still in the Hall of Fame.
We did take away his Heisman. Just like we'll take away
Charles Woodson's. Yeah.
Kill your ex-wife and a waiter, we're going to take yours away, too. The greatest Norm MacDonald line of all time. Anyway, that's it. And one more sexual harassment story. Luke Robitaille's wife. He's been married to Stacia Robitaille for 20-some years, and she came out and said, she wrote on Twitter, "I was once on an elevator alone with Trump at Madison Square Garden. He was aggressive and told me I was coming home with him. I laughed, stating I was married to a Ranger. He guaranteed my husband didn't make as much money as him." and then she says, "I'm not a liberal lefty and I'm not looking for attention. I just felt bad keeping it to myself." So anyway, of course, that's the Donald is. Has Donald done anything too screwy today in response to Roy Moore's defeat?
Oh, I was going
to
say, you mean outside of the fact that he says he never endorsed Roy Moore? No, he's been pretty.
Oh, he said that
today?
Yeah,
he did. He told.
Even though he went to.
Yep.
He went there and everything. He said he didn't endorse him.
Yep, your guy, Donald.
He's a beauty. All right. We'll be back. Jess Myers talks some hockey about the red-hot, overtime-loving Minnesota Wild.
Give us 30 minutes, and we'll give you everything Clucks.
What is slashing?
Slashing is like that.
Jess Myers now joins the ride with Royce.
Right now!
For this edition of the Hockey Half Hour.
So did you look up that Bill Marshall photo I told you to look up?
I haven't looked it up yet, but Bill Marshall is a talented guy. I've known him for years.
I shot an outdoor photo today. We had a rough grouse piece in the outdoor section of the strip, and he's got one. Eaten. I think it's a cranberry. Right?
Okay.
What berries do they eat up there?
Yeah, there's some red berries out there.
Well, we got the robins eat them next to our there's a tree next to our house that the robins come over and eat too.
Yep.
But this rough grouse has just got the big berry in his mouth.
Do you feed
right
the birds in the winter? I got to ask.
I will if I see them out there. Okay. But I try to keep, you got to keep them away from the damn squirrels.
I got a bird feeder and then I also have a squirrel feeder. That's the way to do it. Give the squirrels their own food and then they leave the bird food
alone. If I got bread that I'm going to throw away, I go out and rub it between my hands and throw it out there by the trees where they hang out. And
this is pretty usually, typical hockey talk right here.
Yes, right? That's
this
right.
This is what people tune in for.
So I heard Judd today. Now, the boys have won four straight games that went to overtime. Three of them in overtime, right? And two in shootouts and two in overtime. But they've never done anything like this in their history, right?
No.
Because they've always, especially since we went to the 3-on-3, they've stunk. Basically,
yeah,
right?
They've been a lousy 3-on-3 team. I mean, Mike Yeo couldn't figure out how to do it.
But Judd today was crediting their analytics department, which convinced Boods to go with two defensemen.
One forward, two defensemen.
Yep. And you put Dumba out there, and Judd was talking about Dumba. That's like having another forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know, when you're playing 3-on-3, you're not looking for brain surgery out there anyway. You just want somebody who can do something in the open ice, right?
And now when you're playing Stalock, that's like having another defenseman out there because he loves to handle the puck and play around so much that, you know, that's got that more guys that use it. But, you know, you're just looking to keep possession of it is the big thing in 3-on-3 because if you lose possession, it's really hard to get it back because you just don't have the bodies out there to clog things up.
I watched most of the 3-on-3 because that's one of my hockey watching rules. If they're playing 3-on-3, I'll watch.
Yeah.
And I watched. I had a click over a couple of times, but I watched, and that was a wheeling dealing 3-on-3 overtime.
All these purists talking about, you know, 3-on-3 ruins the game and the shootouts are an abomination.
Well,
hey, if that happens, you turning off the TV? No,
the
you're not. You're watching.
The 5-minute overtime was not settling any ties.
Right.
That was the problem. 80% of the games were still tied after they played the overtime.
Because everybody
right?
wanted the point, and they were fine with it.
The 3-on-3 came after the shootout, right?
Correct.
More recently than the, what, this about year
they actually,
three?
They actually had a 4-on-4 overtime.
Okay, that's right.
Yep. And that opened it up a little bit more, and somebody said, hey, why not? Let's go 3-on-3. My only disappointment with that shootout, and you're right, it was great up-and-down stuff and big saves and, you know, missed nets and all that. First night of Hanukkah, how does Jason Zucker not get the game winner?
I don't know. Hey.
We missed opportunity
there. Is Mike Smith the guy that was in Phoenix?
He was the guy that was in Phoenix.
He's got to be 40.
Yep. He's a big strapping guy.
Oh,
he's been around a long time.
He and
Dubnyk, you know, were the tandem in Phoenix.
When
they let Dubnyk go, yeah.
Yeah, well, he's an old man, but now they're in good playoff. They have gotten in good playoff position here with this streak of 4-1, right?
Yeah.
They lost one in L.A.
They lost to the Kings, yeah.
Yes.
Not a nice showing there.
But they're 4-1, and all of them in extra time. And the deal is that we got to stay away from the traditional December swoon, which last year they didn't have, right?
Right.
Last
they didn't
year,
have the December swoon.
That's when they got hot, right? Last year, December,
yeah.
January.
December was the time they turned it on. They won like 16-20 or something like that. Crazy. But
are they good enough to do that? I don't think so.
I don't think they're that good, but they're getting healthier. Spurgeon skated again today. You know, Parise, they keep hinting that he's getting closer and closer now. Dubnyk's potential injury throws a wrench in all that because you don't know how long he's going to be out, but they claim they're confident in Stalock that he can be the everyday guy, and then they'll call up somebody from Iowa.
Who's your backup?
I think
we got a Swede down there, a Gustafsson, or somebody like
Svedberg, Nicholas Svedberg, of course.
Okay, we always got some.
And then,
Swede
of course, we've got
there.
Steven Mikalik, who has been up before. Maybe it's Mikalik. They brought him up a few times to sit on the bench. But how about Donnie Beaupre's kid being the emergency backup guy?
I heard that.
They literally pull him out of the stands to
Oh, he came and sat in the stands, and then I read today that he practiced with them.
He practiced with them today. And the great line Stalock had, you know, Stalock's not a real big guy. Well, Beaupre's kid is diminutive. Stalock said, you know, since when am I the tall goalie on the team?
Hey, what's so he's only 17?
No, he's around.
No,
he's,
okay.
I want to say he's 23, 24.
Where did he play?
Played at Edina, and then he played some club hockey at the U of M.
Okay.
And he also played for Denver's club team, I guess, and transferred back to Minnesota. So hasn't played college hockey other than on the club level. But
well, that would, so is he... He was. Did they then dress him and put him on the bench last night?
They said he had about half his equipment on. Sounds like he put the leg pads on and just kind of stood in the tunnel and waited. And if they would have needed him, he could have thrown the.
Now, what about the other team? If they hurt two goalies, do they take somebody out of the stands too, or how's that work?
I'm not sure how that rule
they
works.
Used to,
you
of course,
would think, yeah.
The great thing about the NHL was when it, in its cheapest days, when they had six teams. A lot of the times they had six goalies in the whole league, and they'd had to Somebody got hurt in 1952. Oh,
there are famous stories about like the GM putting the pads on in between periods. The Wild have Bob Mason and Shep Harder, both sure. Who were good college goalies, and one of them played in the NHL. You know, they've got both of them on the staff. Why can't they throw one of those guys in goal?
And it by the way, it confirms my report on great saves, which is 92% are because you hit the goalie with the puck. I actually saw a great save when I was over there 10 days ago or so on Niederreiter at the end of regulation against which is
Vegas maybe or
was it maybe it was
maybe,
Vegas.
Maybe
yeah
St.
Vegas
Louis.
Game. Yeah. Vegas game yeah the Subban kid made an actual great save because. Yeah. It didn't hit anything. It was out there, and he had to leap out and swat it away.
That's the other great fallacy in great saves, though. So many times you see the goalie, dive across a crease and make a big glove save or something like that. You know why that happened? Because you weren't in position.
Well,
if you're playing your
be.
Position, you don't have to make a great save. You've got to be quiet.
I still think it's a crazier position to play than quarterback in the NFL where guys are trying to hit you. Because it's, how the hell do they see the puck? I have no idea. There's six guys standing in front of you trying to prevent you from seeing the puck. Yep. These guys have to have great vision.
How many? One of the great cliches. Oh, we got to take the goalie's eyes away. We got to clog the lanes. Yeah. We got to take his eyes away.
First, back then, they used to take his eyes away by hitting him with a stick in the forehead. But that was the way it'd go. But anyway, great.
I was going to tell you, by the way, you say Mike Smith is an old man on that Calgary Flames team. Keep in mind, Jaromir Jagr's on that roster. So Mike Smith, by comparison, is still a young buck. But
how much time is he getting? Yeah.
Not much. He's been hurt the last couple games. He's pretty banged up. 45-year-old body playing NHL hockey. That is not a good thing to do to your body.
Plus, he had to leave. Was he in Florida?
He was in Florida last year.
Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tampa's really good, huh?
Tampa's really good.
They say that
they're very, very good
team. The best team in the league.
Yeah, and they were without Stamkos most of last year because he was hurt, and there was all this talk that, maybe John Cooper, the coach, just doesn't have it. Well, bring your best player back in the lineup, and suddenly you're a much smarter coach.
And who's the commie they got? Kucherov. Yeah. What's the guy? He's supposed to be great,
yeah,
too.
Right? Real good. Real good.
When do they play?
We still get the occasional Russian. They're coming here January 20th, I want to say.
Okay.
Only get to see them once. I mean, who would have thought 20 years ago seeing Tampa?
Oh, man, we got to see Tampa.
We got to see Tampa would be a big deal. But, yeah, they're a good team.
Well, I had to go see Vegas, so that's whoever thought we would have said that. We'll be back. Jess Myers, the Hockey Half Hour.
Getting you caught up on the week in pucks. It's the Hockey Half Hour with Jess Myers.
Combination that requires the highest level of conditioning, speed, creativity.
On the Ride with Royce.
We have reached the traditional halfway point of the college hockey season, and my Huskies are rated number one in the country and have righted themselves and are leading the best conference in American sports, the NCHC.
In American sports? Wow, we're taking it up a notch. Yeah.
Big Ten volleyball is probably the best, and the NCHC is more dominant than any other league in college sports.
Number one in the polls and also number one in the computer rankings, which are all important. Denver's had a few stumbles,
They lost twice at Denver, but
that's it. 12-2-1 at the break. And
those are only two losses.
Those are the only two losses, yeah.
Now the coach goes off. They don't play for 3 weeks, right?
Right. They play the Gophers first weekend of January.
Is he going to miss any games, Motzko?
I think he'll miss a couple.
But they try
and structure that, So these higher-end programs like the Gophers and St. Cloud State that know that they're going to lose guys to the World Juniors, they structure it so you don't have a conference series early in January.
So where's the World Juniors? Canada again?
No, Buffalo.
Buffalo, really?
I can't believe Chris isn't going. I mean, since Buffalo, right up his alley.
Okay, I got a question for you. The World Juniors used to be like every other tournament, right? Every other year, right? Didn't it used to be every other
year? No, it's always been every year. But they used to rotate back and forth between Europe and North America
every other year. In Europe, they don't give a damn.
Well, I mean, they do, but it's tougher. People don't want to fly over there. Teams, if guys have been drafted, they don't want to send their top prospects over there because, long way and all that.
But usually they like to play it in Canada, right? Because they fill it up.
They have two rules. Play it in Canada or play it somewhere near
close
Canada.
To Canada.
Why it's been to Grand Forks. That's why it's in Buffalo. That's why it's going to Detroit. I mean, places like that.
Okay, when you see the Canadian junior team now, these are all pretty much they're junior leagues, right? They're not many U.S. college kids, right?
Very rarely. You know, no. Jonathan Taves 10 years ago.
They're A-level prospects all playing their own junior leagues, right?
They all play major junior for the most part. You know, you still occasionally get a pretty good Canadian kid who will want to come down here and play college hockey. You know, maybe it's a kid whose dad played college hockey or something like that, where they kind of see the value of that. But for the most part, those kids at 15 or 16 are getting plugged and going to a place like, you know, Sudbury.
And if you played major junior, you're ineligible because you get paid?
Correct.
Okay.
And you don't get paid much, but it's enough where they say, you know. Mm-hmm. And it didn't used to be that way. You know, that RPI team that won the national championship 30 years ago that beat UMD down the Frozen Four, Adam Oates and a lot of those guys that played for that team had played major junior, then decided to go to college.
And, of course, the Denver-John Mariucci feud was all based on major junior Canadians. Like Keith Magnuson and those guys. Denver had a team that could have won the World Junior Championship for Canada, right?
Murray Armstrong, the coach at Denver, would legendarily just go get the Regina Pats junior team and bring them down to Denver. And
well, they had those players. And Marouche, you guys go back and look. The Gophers were in the same league as Denver. And didn't play him in the regular season for like 6 years, right?
No, they refused Marouche to play him.
Wouldn't play him. They'd have to play. If the schedule fell, so when you had the playoffs, and they used to have those two-game total goal series in the first round, right?
Right.
And maybe even the second. But if it fell so you had to play Denver then you'd play them. But beyond that, Marouche wouldn't play them. Which is
Jeff,
unbelievable.
You know, back in the waning days of the two-game total goal series, Jeff Sauer tells a great story. Curtis Joseph, you know, played at Wisconsin 1 year.
Yes.
They go to the playoffs, and he literally didn't understand how two-game total goals worked.
Yeah.
So they're down 4-2 in the third period of the first game, and he just gives up like five goals. Well, series is over, you know. You're not going to score seven the next
night. Couldn't they explain that to him after he gave up the first one?
He said he literally didn't know how it worked, and that was the end of their season.
Well, I've always said Herbie's miracle was not Lake Placid. Herbie's miracle was the total goal series with Notre Dame, and I can't remember when it was. But Notre Dame beat them something like 6-1 opening day on Friday, and Herbie beat them 9-2 or something on Saturday.
That was his
biggest miracle.
The great ones, too, you look in the box scores, and if you didn't understand what a two-game total goal series was, you look at a box score now, the second game is, you know, 7-2 in overtime.
Like, yeah, right.
How does that work?
Yeah, and pulled goalie with 12 minutes to go in the third period because we got to get five here, right?
The biggest problem with those series was if you had a blowout on the first night, the second night would just be a fight fest because one team would realize they were done and, you know, couldn't make up the difference, and it would just be nasty hockey.
But. You know who still does that? Soccer does a lot of those in some of these playoff countries that use playoffs. Of course, England doesn't. They just go by the regular season, but a lot of them.
Does that explain Trinidad and Tobago?
I think the MLS first two rounds of the playoffs are total goals.
Total goals.
And then the championship game. But this never made any sense to me. To get to the championship game, you play total goals, and then when you get to the championship game, you just play one game.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I mean, I've been covering college hockey 30 years, and I've seen the two-game total goal series, and then the NCAA went to, like, best of three. Mm-hmm. You know, they had eight teams, and it was best of three series for a couple years. And then finally, in about 92, 93, they just went to single elimination and said, okay, one game, you're done.
Now, there's a tournament to have best of...
The NCAA
first
tournament,
round of the tournament had before the Frozen Four, they had...
they had best of three series in the late 80s and early 90s. I remember, you know, that 89 Gopher team. They had to take out Michigan State, I think it was, in a two-game series.
So how much trouble are our Fighting Gophers in here? They're obviously not going to win the Big Ten. Notre Dame's 10-0.
I just looked up the stats. We're halfway through the season. Notre Dame's played 10 games. The Gophers have played 12. Notre Dame currently has a 97% chance of winning the Big Ten. Gophers have less than 1%
chance. Gophers are 4-6-2.
Yes, yeah. It's one of those, you know, the shootout wins count differently.
But
here's the deal: they're in a great position to make the NCAA tournament. Still, they're like you know.
That's why
the
pairwise.
Where the pairwise is important.
Stupid. Yeah, I know, but it's stupid.
Okay,
they're 500.
Yeah.
Right. They shouldn't have a good pairwise, but then UMD is like ranked, and they're under 500.
And.
Right?
Your favorite, the Colorado College Tigers, are right on the brink.
Really?
They're back from the dead.
Well, that's good because it was so bad out there and the crowds were so lousy, they were wondering if they're going to keep playing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, that's a small, expensive college. But
in a non-traditional hockey market,
why aren't the Gophers better?
You know, one of the things, I mean, you can't blame one kid, but Mittelstedt was supposed to be the guy you can't miss him. And he just hasn't emerged into that yet. Mm-hmm. He's been injured a little bit. He's taken longer than expected to adjust to college hockey. He could be one of those kids that comes back after the break and just turns it on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's been one factor, is people thought he would be, you know, a go-to guy. And I think he will be. He just hasn't become that guy
yet. He could turn out to be like Blake Wheeler, a disappointment to Gopher fans who is now playing in the league 14 years later.
Absolutely.
And scoring goals.
Still making a good paycheck.
We'll be back with Jeff's deep thought for the day. Jess's deep thought for the day. Great Outdoors coming up at 6 o'clock. We'll kick around Mille Lacs a little more and ask him about that rough grouse picture today.
Oh, I will. Great. That
sounds
great.
Rough grouse picture. And give me a deep hockey thought here before we sign off.
We got to say congratulations to Matt Cullen.
Yeah,
got a goal last night. What, number 250. He becomes.
Everybody was writing his obit when they took him out of the lineup a couple games ago, but he came back since then. So.
Fifth Minnesotan, number five to score 250 goals, joining
Neil Broughton,
Dave Christian, Neil Broughton, Phil Housley, Zach Parise. Yep, and now Matt Cullen.
Dave Christian, I keep forgetting. He might be as good as anybody we ever had.
He had a good 15-year career in the NHL.
Best player on the 1980 team.
Well, you know, I'm a little biased, being a Warroad guy, and his dad was my youth hockey coach, but yeah, he was a good player.
He was fantastic. Well, he must have played how many years? 15?
He had about a 15-year career.
And mostly defense, right?
Yeah.
Although the thing about him is...
No, actually, he was mostly a forward, but Herbie put him at defense.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Herbie's big move. He wanted him controlling things from the blue line. And speaking of Warroad, by the way, ranked 16th in the Class A rankings, 0-6 right now. So I think that might be based on reputation. So wanted to wish the Warriors good luck.
Who are we losing to? Everybody. Huh?
Everybody so far.
Wow.
But yeah.
Wow.
Rozo 2-4, Warroad 0-6.
Been known to run coaches out of Warroad.
Yeah, Jay Hardwick, the coach there, is a buddy of mine.
Good guy.
I'm wishing well for him, but tough start for the Warriors.
Wow. Yeah. Do the losses include the first game of the winter against Rozo?
No, they haven't played that one yet. That's about a month away.
Well, they play twice, right?
Yeah, they play twice. And a fun story, by the way, Greenway, which a couple years ago, I think, won two games. They're 5-0, and they're moving up the rankings real quick.
They're A now. They gave up those visions of grandeur that they had when they went down the state tournament 10 years ago, right?
Yep,
they were double A.
Yeah. With Sertich and all those guys. Yes. Yeah, good team.
All righty, Jess. The Great Outdoors, 6 o'clock tonight. Jess, Dennis Anderson, and a cast of dozens. We'll be back. Herm and Rich Gannon both in the 5 o'clock hour.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.